we talk?
Did you have something?
No, I haven't thought about it.
What?
I haven't thought about it.
One point that relating to what we said before the other 2 days, I was reading somewhere that there's a leading physicist said that the more we understand the universe, the more pointless it seems. That's the less meaning it has, right?
Yes.
And it occurred to me, you know, that in science, maybe an attempt to make the material universe the ground of our existence, and then it may have meaning physically, but it does not have meaning
any other meaning quite.
And now the question which we might discuss is this ground which we were talking about the other day, say, is it indifferent to human, to mankind, see, as the physical universe appears to be?
Good question. Let's get the question clear. Mm-hmm. I've understood it. Would you explain it a little bit more?
Yes. Well, if we go into the background, even what we were discussing at lunch, not only physicists, but geneticists, biologists, have tried to reduce everything to the behavior of matter.
Yes.
Atoms, genes, DNA. And the more they study it, then the more they feel it has no meaning. It's just going on. And though it has meaning physically, in the sense that we can understand it scientifically, it has no deeper meaning than that.
I understand that.
And that, of course, is perhaps people have, that notion has penetrated, because in the past, people felt, the religious people were more religious and felt that the ground of our existence isn't something beyond matter and God or whatever they wish to call it.
Yes, quite.
And that gave them a sense of a deep meaning to the whole of existence, which meanwhile has gone away, right? That is one of the difficulties of modern life, is the sense that it doesn't mean anything.
So have the religious people invented something which has a meaning?
They may have done so. You see, that feeling that life has no meaning, they may have invented something beyond the ordinary.
Yes, that's what,
something which is eternal,
timeless,
beyond time,
and
total,
nameless,
and
yes,
whole, and independent, absolute, we call it.
Seeing the way we live genetically and all the rest of it has no meaning, and so some clever, erudite people said, we'll give it a meaning.
Well, I think it happened before that in the past people somehow gave meaning to life, say, long before science had been very much developed in the form of religion. And science came along and began to deny this religious meaning.
Quite. I understand that.
And people no longer believe in the religious meaning. Perhaps they never were able to believe in it entirely anyway.
Yes. So that, yes. So how does one find out if life has a meaning beyond this? How does one find out? They've tried meditation, they've tried every form of self-torture, isolation, becoming a monk, a sannyasi, and so on and so on. But they may be also be deceiving themselves thoroughly.
Yes. And that, in fact, is why the scientists have,
denied
it all, because the story told by the religious people is not plausible, you see.
Yes, quite. So, how does one find out if there is something more than the merely physical?
Mm-hmm.
How would one set about it?
Yes, well, what I was thinking was that we had been discussing in the past 2 days the notion of some ground,
yes, I understand,
which is beyond, which beyond the matter, beyond the emptiness.
Yes, but it, suppose you say that it is so.
Yes.
I say, well, that's another illusion.
Yes, but I want, the first point is, perhaps we would clear this up, that would this ground possibly, see, if this ground is indifferent to human beings, then it will be the same as the scientist's ground in matter, you see.
Yes.
And therefore, it will not
what is the question? Is the ground different?
Indifferent.
Indifferent.
To human, to mankind. See, the universe appears to be totally indifferent to mankind. It goes in immense vastness. It pays no attention. It may produce earthquakes and catastrophes. It might wipe us out. It
yes.
Essentially is not interested in mankind.
I see what you mean. Yes, yes, yes.
It's up to, it doesn't care whether man survives or does not survive, you see, if you want to put it that way.
Right. That's a good question.
Now, I think that people, let me try to finish, that people felt that God was a ground who was not indifferent to mankind. You see, they may have invented it, but that's what they believe.
Believe,
right?
Yes.
And that is what gave them possibly,
tremendous energy, tremendous,
yes.
Quite.
Now, I think the point would be, would this ground
be indifferent?
Indifferent to mankind.
Man, quite. How would you find out? What is the relationship of this ground to man? With man? What is its relationship to man and man's relationship to it?
Yes, that's the question. Does man have some significance to it?
Yes.
And does it have significance to man?
Right, Joe. Hmm? Quite.
See, let me add one more point that I was discussing once with somebody who was familiar with the Middle Eastern traditions of mysticism, and he said that in there, they not only say that the what we call this ground, this infinite, has some significance for man, but they feel that the what man does has ultimately some significance in the
quite. Join somebody. Suppose one says it has, otherwise life has no meaning, nothing has meaning. How would one not prove, how would one find out? Suppose you say this ground exists, as the other day I said it. Mm-hmm. Suppose somebody, you say it. And the next question is, what relationship has that to man? And the man's relationship to it, how would you find out? How would one discover or find out or touch it if the ground exists at all? If it doesn't exist, then really, man is, it's no meaning at all.
Yes.
I die and you die and we all die, and what's the point of being virtuous? What's the point of being happy or unhappy? Just carry on. How would you show the ground exists? In scientific terms, as well as the feeling of it, the non-verbal communication of it.
Yes, well, when you mean scientific, you mean rational.
Rational.
And also something that we can actually touch.
Yes.
You see, that's the two.
Now, touch, you can't.
Sense.
That's better than touch. Sense. Right. Scientific, we mean by that rational, logical, sane. Many can come to it.
Yes, it's public.
Yes. And it isn't just one man's assertion.
Yes, well, I think that's fair.
That would be scientific.
Yeah.
Yes. I think that can be proved, that can be shown, because we said from the very beginning that if half a dozen of us actually freed ourselves, etc., 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 I think it can be. Sure. But with all things, one must do it, not just verbally talk about it. Can I, or you say the ground exists, and the ground demands certain, it has certain demands, which is there must be absolute silence, absolute emptiness, which means no sense of egotism in any form, right? Would you tell me that? Am I willing to let go all my egotism? Because I want to prove it. I want to show it. I want to find out if what you're seeing is actually true. So, am I willing, all of us, 10 of us, willing to say, look, complete eradication of the self?
Yes, I think that I can say that perhaps in some sense people are willing, but there may be another sense in which the willingness is not subject to your conscious
effort
or determination.
We go through all that.
Yeah, we have to see that.
It's not will, it's not desire, it's not effort.
Yes, but when you say willingness, you say it contains the word will, for example.
I mean, willingness in the sense, go through that door.
Well, yes.
Are we willing to go through that particular door to find if the ground exists? You ask me that. I said, I will in the sense, not exercise will and all that. What are the facets or the qualities or the nature of the self? So we're going to that.
Yes.
You point it out to me, and I say, right. Can 10 of us do it? Not be attached, not be have fear, not have, you follow the whole business of it. Have no belief, no absolute rational, observation. I think if 10 people do it, any science would accept it. But there are no 10 people. So one man's assertion becomes, well.
Yes, well, I see what we have to have the thing done together publicly.
That's it.
So that it becomes a real fact,
Real fact. Real fact in the sense that people accept it.
Well, yes. It,
not based on illusion, Jesus and belief and all the rest of it.
Yes, well, a fact which is what is actually done, you see.
Now, who will do this, sir? The scientists won't say that the thing is all illusory, nonsense. And there are others, X says it is not nonsense, there is a ground. And X says, if you do these things, it'll be there.
Yes, now I think that some of the things that you say may not make it may not entirely in the beginning make sense to what to the person you talk with, you see.
Yes, quite, because he's not even willing to listen, even willing to.
Well, also this whole background.
Of course.
Against it. You see, that is the background gives you the notion of what makes sense and what doesn't. Now,
Quite.
Now, if you say, for example, one of the steps is not to bring in time, you see.
Ah, well, that's much more difficult.
Yeah, but that's clearly crucial, isn't it?
No, wait, I wouldn't begin, not
begin,
bring in time. I would begin at the schoolboy level.
All right. Yes. Yeah, but you're going to eventually reach those more difficult points.
Yes. Begin with the schoolboy level and say, look, do these things.
Mm-hmm. Well, what are they? Let's go over them.
No belief.
The person may not be able to control what he believes. They may not know even what he believes.
No, don't control anything. Observe
that
you have belief and you cling to the belief. Belief gives you a sense of security and so on, so on, so on. And that belief is illusion. It has no reality.
Yes, you see, I think if we were to talk to a scientist like that, now he might say, I'm not sure about that, because he says, I believe in the existence of the material world.
That's it. You don't believe sunrises and sunsets, it's a fact.
Yeah, no, but he believes, you see, there have been long arguments about this. There's no way to prove that it exists outside my mind, but I believe it anyway, you know. this is one of the questions which arises, you see, saying that I believe, see, scientists actually have beliefs. See, one will believe that this theory is right, and the other believes in that one.
No, I have no theories. I don't have any theories. Mm. I start at the schoolboy level by saying, look, don't accept theories, conclusions, don't cling to your prejudices, and so on, so on. That is the starting point.
Yes. Well, perhaps it would be better to say don't hold to your theories, you see, because
somebody
might question you if you said you have no theories. They would immediately doubt that, you see.
I have no theories. Why should I have theories?
You see, Krishnaji, if I'm a scientist, I would also say I don't have theories. I don't see that the world which I construct through my scientific theories is also theoretical. I would call it a fact.
So we have to discuss what are facts.
That's right.
Right? What are facts? I would say what are facts were that which is happening. Actually happening. Would you agree to that?
Yes.
Huh? Would the scientist agree to that?
Yes, well, I think a scientist would say that what is happening is understood through through the theories. You see, in science, you do not understand what is happening except with the aid of instruments and theories.
No, wait.
Yes.
What is happening out there?
Yes.
What's happening here?
All right, but let's go slowly. First,
that's
let's
what
discuss
I mean.
What's happening out there, that instruments and theories are needed to even...
No, I'm not... No.
But I mean, to have the fact about what's out there.
What are the facts out there?
You cannot do it without some kind of theory.
No. The facts there are conflict. Well, you should have a theory about
that. No, but I mean about I wasn't discussing that. I was discussing the facts about matter, see, which the scientist is concerned with.
Yes, all right.
Now, he cannot establish that fact without a certain line of theory.
Perhaps. I wouldn't know that.
Yeah, you see, because the theory organizes the fact for him. You see, without that, it would really fall into...
Yes, I understand that. So, that may be a fact, right?
Yes.
You may have theories about that.
Yes, about gravitation, about atoms, about... See, all of those things depend on theories in order to produce the right facts.
Right fact. So you start with a theory...
A mixture of theory and fact. It's always a combination of theory and fact.
All right. Combination of theory and fact.
Hmm? Yes. Now, if you say we're going to have an area where there isn't any such combination.
That's it. Which is psychologically, I have no theory about myself, about the universe, about my relationship with them. I have no theory. What should I have? The only fact is, mankind suffers, miserable, confused, in conflict. That's a fact. Why should I have a theory about it?
Well, it must go slowly. See, if you're intending to bring in the scientist and say, this is to be scientific.
I'm bringing you in extremely slowly, right? I'll go very slowly.
So that we don't leave the scientist behind.
Right. Or leave me behind.
It's to set part company, right? Now, the scientist might say, yes, psychology is the science with which we try to look inwardly, you know, to investigate the mind, right? And they say various people have had theories such as Freud and Jung and other people. I don't know all of them. And now we'll have to make it clear why it has no point to make these theories.
Because theory prevents the observation of what is actually taking place.
Yes, but you see, outside it seemed the theory was helping that observation.
Yes, yes.
You say, why the difference? Yeah.
Difference? Oh, you can invent that. That's fairly simple.
Well, let's spell it out, you know, make it, you know, because, you know, if you want to bring in a scientist, you know, you must answer this question.
Yes, sir, yes, sir, we'll answer it, we'll answer it. The question is, what is the question?
Well, why is it that theories are both necessary and useful in organizing facts about matter outwardly, and yet inwardly, psychologically, they're in the way, they have no use at all?
Yes. What is theory?
Yes. Well,
the meaning of the word
it's
theory.
Theoria meant to
theoria,
sight.
Yes.
You see, it meant to see, to view.
To view.
To a kind of insight, right?
Yeah. To view. That's
yeah.
it.
Yes, it's a view, a way of looking. You see.
The way of looking.
And the theory helps you to look at the outside.
Yeah.
Matter, right?
Yes. Now, can you? Which means theory means to observe.
It's a way of observing.
It's a way of observing.
Yes.
Can you observe psychologically what's going on?
Yeah.
Observe.
Yes. Now let's say that when we look at matter outwardly, we, to a certain extent, we fix the way of observing, right?
That is, the observer is different.
Not only different, but the relationship is fixed.
Fixed, yes.
Relatively,
that's
at least.
That's right.
For some time.
That's right. We can move now. Let's
yes.
move.
And this appears to be necessary to study matter.
Yes.
That matter does not change so fast, and it can be separated to some extent. And we can then make a fairly constant way of looking. It changes, but not immediate, you know, it can be held constant for a while.
Yes.
And we call that theory.
Yeah. As you said, theory means the actual meaning of the word is the way of observing.
That's right. It has the same root as theater in Greek, you see.
Huh?
The same root in Greek as theater.
Theater, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and that's right. So, way of looking.
Yeah.
Mm? Now, what is... Now, where do we start?
Yes, now
the common way of looking, the ordinary way of looking, the way of looking depending on each person, the housewife, the husband, mm-hmm. the merrymaker, the court. What do you mean the way of looking?
Well, the same problem has arose in the development of science. That is, we began with what was called common sense.
Common sense.
And a common way of looking.
Yes.
And then the scientists discovered that this was inadequate.
They moved away from it.
They moved away, or at least they gave up some parts of it.
Now, yeah, that's what I'm coming to.
Yeah.
The common way of looking is full of prejudice.
Yes, it's arbitrary.
Arbitrary.
You know, it depends on your background.
Yes, all that.
Yes.
So can I be free of my background, my prejudice?
Yes.
I think one can.
Yes. Now, I think that you could say that when it comes to looking inwardly, you see, the question is whether a theory such of psychology would be of any help in doing this. You see that the danger is the theory itself might be a prejudice.
What?
I say, if you tried to make a theory,
that's what I'm saying. That would become a prejudice.
It would become a prejudice because we have not yet observed anything to found it on.
Found quite. So the common factor is that man suffers, right? That's a common factor.
Yes.
And the way of observing matters.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, I wonder whether scientists would accept that as the most fundamental factor of man.
All right, let him. Conflict?
Well, many, they've argued about it, but...
Take anything, it doesn't matter.
Yes.
Attachment, pleasure, fear.
You see, I think some people might object, saying we should take some more positive...
Which is what?
Well, just simply, some people might have said that rationality is a common factor.
I wouldn't call rationality as the common factor.
That's
if they are rational, they wouldn't be fighting each other.
I understand. Now, we have to make this clear. You see that, let's say in the past, somebody like Aristotle might have said rationality is the common factor of man, right? Now, your argument against it is that men are not generally rational.
No, they're not.
Though they might be, they're not, right?
Yeah, that's it.
Right, so you're saying that is not a fact. Right?
That's right.
I think one thing which would...
Sit there, sir. Yeah. Sit in the middle, sir. No, sit there. No, you're already here. Doesn't matter. I can see you. That's right.
I think commonly scientists would say that the common fact for mankind is that there are many different human beings and that they're all striving for happiness. And they would
say, is that a common factor? No. I wouldn't accept that. Many human beings are striving for happiness.
No, I would say there are many, the human beings are all different.
Agree. No, and they think they are different.
That's what I'm saying. That is the common theory which people believe to be a fact.
That is, each person thinks he's totally different from others.
Yes.
Right.
And they are all independently striving for happiness.
They all are seeking some kind of gratification.
Right.
Right? Yeah. Would you agree to that?
Yes. Well, that is one. But the reason I brought up rationality was that the very existence of science is based on the notion that rationality is common to man.
I know. But
yeah, well, we have to go slow. But you're saying that
you to bring that in.
What?
Each person seeking his own individual
gratification. Yeah, but see, science would be impossible if that were entirely true, you see.
True, quite.
But,
why
because everybody would not be interested in the truth, you see. That the very possibility of doing science depends on people feeling that this common goal of finding the truth is beyond personal satisfaction, because even if your theory is wrong, you must accept that it is wrong, though it is not gratifying, you see.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That is, it becomes very disappointing, but people accept it. They say, well, that's wrong. Right? But if
I'm not seeking gratification. I'm a common man.
Well, it is something which is written, for example, in many constitutions of many countries. And that's why I brought it up. It seems to be a common belief.
No,
that this is what
I think what Dr. Bohm has brought out, which is scientists take for granted human beings are rational.
At least when they do science, right?
Science.
Yeah, they may agree that they're not very rational in private life, but they say at least they're capable of being rational when they do scientific work.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it would be impossible to begin, right?
So, outwardly, in dealing with matter, they're all rational.
At least they try to be, and they are to some extent.
All right, they try to be. They become irrational.
Yeah.
In their relationship with other human beings.
Yes, they cannot maintain it.
They can't maintain. So that's the common fact.
Yes, okay. So that this is important to bring out this point that that rationality is limited and that you say the fundamental fact is that more generally
human beings are irrational.
Human beings cannot be rational. You see, they may succeed in some limited area.
That's right. That's right.
And
now, can I? That's a common factor. That's a fact.
That is a fact, though we don't say it's inevitable or it can't
be
changed.
No, that's
right?
A fact.
It's a fact as it has been, right?
Yeah, that is happening.
Yeah, it has happened and is happening.
Yes. I, as a common human being, have been irrational And my life has been totally contradictory and so on, so on, so on, which is irrational.
Mm-hmm.
Now, can I, as a human being, change that?
Yes. Well, then, let's see how we would proceed from the scientific, you know, approach. Now, this would raise the question, you see, why is everybody irrational? See, why
I can tell, because we've been conditioned that way. Mm-hmm. Our education, our religion, our everything is...
No, but that line won't get us anywhere, because it leads to more questions. Why? How did we get conditioned and so on? You see,
well,
that,
we can go into all that.
Yeah, but I meant that following that line is not going to answer.
Right. Why are we conditioned that way?
Yeah. How did we, for example, we were saying the other day that man, perhaps man took a wrong turning.
Yes.
As you know.
Yeah.
That's established the wrong conditioning.
The wrong conditioning, right from the beginning. Yeah. Or seeking security, security for myself, for my family, for my group, for my tribe, has brought about this division.
Yes, but even then, you have to ask why men sought this security in the wrong way. You see that if there had been any intelligence, it would have been clear that this whole thing has no meaning.
Of course, you're going back to the idea we'll take a wrong turn.
Yeah.
But how will you show me we have taken a wrong turn?
Yes, all right, you're asking, saying we want to demonstrate this to the you know, scientifically, or so, is that what you're saying? That you want to continue this demonstration?
Yes, I think the wrong turn was mistaken when thought became all important.
Yes, and what made it all important then?
What made it? Now let's think it out. What made human beings thrown thought as the only means of operation? Why have they enthroned thought, right?
Yes, I mean, it would have to be made clear why, if thought is so important, it causes all the difficulties. You see, these are the two questions.
That's fairly simple.
Yeah.
That's fairly simple.
Well, we've gone over that, but I'm saying that if you were explaining it to somebody else, you have to go into that.
That's fairly simple.
Yes.
So thought has been made king, supreme. And that may be the wrong turn of human beings.
Yes, you see, I think that thought became equivalent of truth. You see, people took thought to give truth, to give what is always true. You see that at a certain stage, there may be the notion that we have a knowledge which may hold, you know, in certain cases or for some time, but men generalize because knowledge is always generalizing, and when they got to the notion that it would be always so, this gave the thought of what is true. You see that this would give thought the supreme importance.
Why has man given? You are asking. Aren't you? Why has man given thought such importance? Is that it?
Yeah, well, I think he slipped into it.
Why?
Because he did not see what he was doing, you see, when in the beginning. He did not see the danger.
Well, you see, I mean, just before you said that the common ground for man is reason. So
scientists say that.
Yes. So they see that if you can prove something to be true, this is even more important than your happiness.
I don't quite follow.
So that if you can show to a person that something is true.
You show it to me. It is true, I am irrational. That is a fact, that is true.
Yes, but for that you don't need reason, you can only need observation, it's sufficient to do that.
No, I'm irrational. I go and fight, I talk about peace, I'm you know, irrational.
But that's all irrational. So why do I say that a reason is so important when I am not reasonable?
No, but what Bohm is pointing out is scientists say man is rational. Mm-hmm. The fact of everyday life is irrational.
Right.
Now, we are saying, he's asking, show me why it is irrational, scientifically. That is, show me in what way I have slipped into this irrationality. Mm-hmm. Why human beings have accepted this. Mm-hmm. You can say it is habit, tradition, religion, and the scientists also. Mm-hmm. They are very rational there, mm-hmm. in the scientific field, but very irrational in their lives.
Mm-hmm. And you suggested that making thought the king
is the main
irrationality.
Yes.
So that seems to be possible.
That's right.
That's what you said.
Yeah. We have reached that point.
Yes.
I want to be clear.
Yes, but then how did we slip into making thought so important? You see?
Why has man given importance to thought as the supreme mm-hmm. thing? Why? I think that's fairly easy. Because that's the only thing he knew.
Well, it doesn't follow that he would give it supreme importance.
Yeah, because the thing I know is more important than the things I don't know. The things thought has created.
Mm-hmm. Hmm?
The images, all the rest of it.
Yes, but you see, if man were at all, and if intelligence were operating, he would not come to that conclusion. It is not rational to say that all I know is all that's important.
That's why he's irrational.
Yes, but I'm saying that it slipped into irrationality, you see, to say all that I know is all that's important. But why should man have made that mistake?
Would you say it is made, that mistake is made because he clings to the known and objects to anything unknown?
Well, that is a fact, but it's not clear why he should.
Because that's the only thing I have.
Well, you see, I'm asking why he was not intelligent enough to see that this.
Because we are irrational.
Well, we're going around a circle.
I don't think we're going in circle, are we?
Look, every one of these reasons you give is merely another form of irrationality, you see.
That's all I'm saying. We are basically irrational. And that irrationality has arisen because we have given thought supreme importance.
But is there a step before that? You see, isn't that thought built up that idea that I exist?
That comes much little later. That I didn't want to enter into that. Because he says you have to go step by step.
Well, I felt that this step really comes before.
Yes, sir, you say what you like. I mean, this is America, we are in America, as the Navy says.
Sorry. It is for the me. It is for the me, the only thing that exists is thought.
Would the scientists accept that?
Well, the scientist feels he's investigating the real nature of matter. You know, independent of thought, independent, ultimately, anyway, you know, that he wants to know the way the universe is. Now, he may be fooling himself, but he feels that otherwise it wouldn't be worth doing unless he believed that he was finding an objective fact.
Sir, would you say through matter, through the investigation of matter, he's trying to find something, he's trying to find the ground?
That's exactly it.
Wait, is that it?
Precisely, yes.
Now, the religious man, mm-hmm. like X, the religious man, Mr. X, he says you can find it by becoming T. terribly rational in your life, right? Which is, etc. He'll go into it. He says, I don't accept I'm rational. The religious man starts. I am irrational. I contradict and so on, so on, so on. So I will have to clear up that first. And step by step, clear up. Or I can do the whole thing at one blow. I accept I'm irrational.
Well, yes, there's a difficulty. If you accept you're irrational, then you're stuck because you say, how are you going to begin, right?
Yes.
Because
if I accept I'm irrational, wait a minute,
yeah.
Completely I'm rational.
Yes, well, you'll have to, you know, see that.
You understand? Good.
No, you have to make that more clear. You see that I think you could say that. Man has been deluding himself into believing that he is already rational. Right?
I don't accept that.
Yes. Now, if you don't accept this delusion, then you're saying that rationality will be there.
I don't accept. The fact is, I am irrational.
Right.
And to find the ground, I must become terribly rational in my life. That's all I start with. And the irrationality has been brought about by thought, creating this idea of me as separate from everything else, etc., etc. So can I, being irrational, find the cause of irrationality and wipe it out? If I can't do that, I cannot reach the ground, which is the most rational. I don't know. Would a scientist who is investigating matter to come upon the ground, he may not accept the ground exists at all.
Well, tacitly, he is assuming that it does.
It does.
Yeah.
And Mr. X comes along and says it does exist. And you, at the scientist, say, show it. The X says, I will show it to you. First become rational in your life. Not there. Don't, as a scientist meeting with other scientists, experimenting and all the rest of it, be rational there and irrational in your life. Begin there rather than there. What would you say to all that?
Right, well,
this must be done without effort, without desire, without will, without any sense of persuasion, pressure. Otherwise, you are back in the game.
Krishnanji, are you supposing, or are you saying that the scientists can be rational here? And
he says they are.
No, they are to some extent.
To some extent.
Of course, he says that. When scientists meet about something, they are very rational.
To some extent.
Yeah. Well, eventually their personal relations come in and so
on. Of course. That's it. They become irrational because of their jealousies and ambitions.
Well, also because they're attached to their theories and so on.
And that isn't also the basic irrationality of them, that they think what they discover is the truth.
No, he doesn't say that. Through the investigation of matter, they hope to come upon the ground.
They may be wrong, but I mean, that's what they hope for, right?
Yes.
And
Oh, I mean, they must, otherwise what's the point of investigating matter?
Maybe there is no point.
Well, the point, yes. In addition, of course, it's important for practical purposes and so on.
Practical purposes, yes, for inventing guns and all the rest of it.
Well, also
submarines
new energy
and
sources.
Super,
well, I mean,
or missiles.
But also new energy sources and so
on. Of course, that's only your part.
Yeah, it's part of it. That is the, but in addition, you know, it may have an interest in itself, but we have to say that we can't, let's try to put it like this, that even in science, even if you could not pursue the science fully unless you were rational.
Yes, somewhat rational.
Somewhat rational, but in fact, eventually, the failure of rationality blocks science. Anyway, scientists hold to their theories, and
that's it.
They become jealous, and
or the irrationality overcomes them.
Yes, well, they cannot keep the irrationality out.
Oh, that's it.
So then you could say you might as well look at the source of the whole irrationality.
That's it. That's what I'm saying.
Yes, that's the only possibility.
Yeah.
But now you have to make it clear that it really can be done, you see.
Oh, yes, I'm showing to you.
Yes, well.
I say, first, recognize, see, observe, be aware, whatever your word, that you are totally irrational.
Well, the word totally will cause trouble, you see, because if you were totally irrational, we couldn't even begin to talk, you see.
No. That's my question. Well, I say you are totally irrational. First recognize it. Watch it. If the moment you admit there is some part of me who is rational, right, which wants to wipe away the irrationality.
No, it's not that, but there must be a sufficient rationality to understand what you're talking about.
Yes, of course. I mean,
and then in some sense,
of course.
Yeah, that there is some, but that essentially, I would rather put that you're dominated by irrationality. That irrationality dominates, even though there's enough rationality to discuss the question.
I question that.
You see, otherwise we couldn't even begin to talk.
No, but listen, just a minute.
Yeah.
We begin to talk. Few of us begin to talk because we're willing to listen to each other. We are willing to say, I'll set aside if any conclusion I have, you'll set, and so on. We are willing to listen to each other.
Well, that's part of rationality.
No, with us.
Yes.
But the vast majority is not willing to listen to us. Because we are concerned, serious enough, to find out the ground exists. Right? That gives us rationality to listen to each other.
Yes, well, listening is essential for rationality.
Huh?
Listening is necessary for rationality.
Of course. Are we saying the same thing?
Yes.
Yes. Because as the scientist, through the examination of matter, investigation of matter, hopes to reach the ground, we, X, Y, Z, say, let us become rational in our life, which means you and I and X, Y, Z are willing to listen to each other. That's all. The very listening is the beginning of rationality. Mr. Carter, Mr. They won't even listen to us.
Yes.
Or even the Pope or anybody. So can we, who are listening, be rational somewhat and begin? That's all my point. This all being terribly logical, isn't it? So can we proceed from there? Why has man brought about this irrationality in his life, and few of us can apparently throw off some part of irrationality and become somewhat rational, X, Y, Z, And those rational people say, now let's start. Right?
Right.
Let us start to find out why man lives this way. Both the scientist and me. Mm-hmm. Because he's a man, he's not just a scientist. Now, what is the dominant factor in his life? Common dominant factor in all human beings' lives. Apart from the X, Y, Z who are rational, including them, what is the dominant current in his life? Obviously, thought.
Yes, that's so. Of course, many people might deny that and say that they are the feeling or something else is the major factor.
Well, many people might say that, yeah. But thought is part of thought, feeling.
Right. That's not commonly understood.
We'll explain it.
Yes.
Senses,
yes.
Feeling. If there was no thought behind it, you wouldn't even recognize there was senses.
Mm-hmm. Yes. How do you have to put that? You see. No, I mean, I think this is a major difficulty in some communication with some people.
Yes, so we begin.
Really, yes.
Leave some people. I want the three X, yeah. Y, Z to
right.
See this.
Mm-hmm.
And X, Y, Z, because they listen to each other, because they've become somewhat rational, therefore they are listening to each other, mm-hmm. And say thought is the main source of this.
Yes, and then we have to say, what is thought, you see, I think
that's very simple.
Well, what is it?
Thought is...
No, but I meant it's part of the whole...
Yeah, thought brings about irrationality.
Yeah, but what is it, you see? What? How do you know you're thinking? See, what do you mean by thinking?
Thinking is the movement of memory which is experience, knowledge, stored up in the brain. Which you and I, we know all this.
You see, Krishnaji, at this moment, we are also thinking, partly.
Yes.
But nevertheless, it seems that this kind of thinking is not just memory.
Oh, yes, it is memory. Sorry.
Only.
No, I don't go further. Just where I'm...
Well,
yes.
Suppose we want to have rationality, which includes
that
rational thought, right? But rationality must include rational thought, right?
Of course.
Now, is rational thought only memory?
Rational thought, if it is... Now, let me be careful.
Yes, right.
Rational... wait. If we are completely rational, there is total insight. That insight uses thought, and then it's rational.
Then it's rational.
My God, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, then thought is not only memory.
No.
But I mean, since it is being used by insight.
No, insight uses thought.
Yeah, but what thought does is not just due to memory now.
Wait a minute.
You see, I see it this way.
Yes, quite right.
Ordinarily, thought runs on its own.
Quite right.
It runs like a machine on its own. It is not rational.
Not rational. Quite right.
That is. But when thought is the instrument of insight, then you see it would be the difference between a piano.
Yes, sir. Agreed.
Yeah.
Then thought is not memory.
It is not based on memory.
Based on memory.
Memory is used, but it is not based on.
That's
memory.
Right. Then what? Then can X, Y, Z, who are fairly rational, who have seen this point that thought being limited, divisive, incomplete, can never be rational?
When it without insight.
Without it, that's right. Now, how is X, Y, Z to have insight? Which is total rationality.
Yes.
Not the rationality of thought.
Well, I'm just, it's rationality of perception, I should say. Huh? I should call it rationality of perception.
Perception.
To perceive,
yes,
rational,
sir,
order, right?
Yeah. Rationality of perception.
And that becomes, and then the thought becomes the instrument of that.
That.
So it has the same order.
Yes. Now, how am I to have that insight? That's the next question, mm-hmm, isn't it? What am I to do or not do to have this instant insight, immediate insight, which is not of time, which is not of memory, which is not of, which has no cause, right? Which is not based on reward or punishment. It is free of all that. Now, how do I, in discussing with X, Y, and Z, who want to come upon the ground, how do I, how does my, the mind have this insight? When I say I have the insight, that's wrong, obviously.
Yes, well.
So how is it possible for a mind which has been irrational and has somewhat become rational, X, Y, Z, and that X, Y, Z ask, how is it possible to have that insight? Yes, it is possible to have that insight if your mind is free from time.
Right.
Right?
Well, let's go slowly because,
yes.
You see, let me say that if we go back to the scientific point of view or to the even common sense, I think that implicitly time is taken as the ground of everything in scientific work,
yes,
and common sense, and in fact, even ancient Greek mythology. See, Kronos, the god of time, produces his children and swallows them.
Yes,
that is exactly what we said about the ground. Everything comes from the ground and dies
goes
to the ground. So, in a way, mankind has begun to take time already as the ground.
Yes,
long
and you,
ago, right?
Yeah, that's it. And you come along and say, time is not the ground.
That's right. I say, so up till now, even scientists have been looking for the ground somewhere in time.
Yes.
And everybody else too.
Yes, sir. That's the whole point.
And now you say
very
time is not the
go
ground.
On,
yes,
sir.
You see. And this, of course, somebody might say it's nonsense, you know, but we'll say, okay, we'll stay open to that, right?
No. We, X, Y, Z, are open to
it. Yeah, we are going to be open to it. But I'm saying some people might easily
of course, some
dismiss
people
it right
say,
away.
Yeah.
But this
science fiction writers may accept it.
Well, they may, some of them, yes.
Some of them, but I'm only joking because that's...
Yeah, now, if you say time is not the ground, then this seems to leave us, you know, let's say we don't know where we are, you know.
Yes, I know where I am. We're going to it.
Yes.
Is time the same movement as this thought which we described first?
Yes. Time is that. Time is thought.
Yeah, so let's go slowly again on that, because there is, as we often said, chronological time.
Of course, that's simple.
Yeah, but I think we have to be, which we, and in addition, we are thinking. Now, you see, thinking takes time chronologically, but in addition, it projects a kind of imaginary time.
Which is the future.
Which is the future and the past as we experience
yes,
it.
Yes, that's right.
And that time which is imagined, which is also a kind of real process of thinking.
Which is a fact.
It is a fact. It is taking time physically to think.
Yeah.
But we also have the time, we can imagine the whole past and future
yes,
in any
second. Which is a fact, which
yes.
are facts.
Yes. Now, so let's say, what do we, that this time is not the ground, perhaps not even physically.
We're going to find out. We're
yes.
going to find out.
Yeah. But we feel it to be the ground because we feel that we as the self, I as the self, exist in time. Without time, there could be no me, right?
That's it.
that I must exist in time.
Yeah, of course, of course.
Either eternally being something or becoming something.
Yeah. Becoming and being are in the field of time.
Yes.
Now, can the mind, which has evolved through time,
That's a strange statement.
What?
Well, what do you mean by mind then?
Mind,
the brain,
my senses, feeling, all that is the mind.
Mm-hmm. That's the particular mind you mean.
Particular mind.
Particular mind. Of course, I'm talking.
Yeah.
Not the mind which is. I'm talking of our X, Y, Z mind. That mind has evolved through time, right?
Yes, well, even its particularity depends on time.
Time, of course, all the rest of it. Now, we are asking, can that mind be free of time, to have an insight which is totally rational, which can then operate on thought, which will be rational.
Yes.
That thought is not based on memory. Right?
Right.
Right. Now, how am I to be free of time? I know I need time to go from here to there, to learn a lesson, technique and so on. I understand that very clearly, so I'm not talking about that time. I am talking about the time as becoming.
Or as being, right?
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
Becoming is being. I start from being to become, yeah. And then so
yes. On. Yes, I'm being something in myself, you see.
In myself,
being
yes.
Being better, being happier.
Yes, the whole thing, the more.
The more.
Now, can my brain, investigating to find out if the ground exists, can my whole mind be free of time? Yes. We have now separated time. The time which is necessary and the time which is not necessary. Mm-hmm. That is, can my brain not function as it has, always in time as thought? Right? Which means, can thought come to an end, right? Would you accept that?
Yes, well, you'll make that more clear. Why? See, we could say that the first question is that can my brain not be dominated by the function of thought, right?
Yes, now, which is time.
Time. Now, then, if you say thought come to an end.
Time is, can time as thought come to a stop?
Yes, the psychological time
comes
to a stop.
Yes, I'm talking
about
that. That, of course, the other.
But then we will still have the rational thought.
Of course, that's understood. We've said that.
Yes.
We are leaving that.
Yeah, we are discussing the thought of consciousness, conscious experience.
Of becoming and
becoming
being.
Becoming and being.
And the retention of memory, the past, as knowledge. Oh, yes, that can be done.
You really mean the memory of experience?
Memory of experiences, hurts, attachments, the whole of it.
Yeah.
Now, can that come to an end? Of course it can. Now, this is the point. It can come to an end when the very perception of, what is it, hurt,
yes,
damage psychologically, the perception of it is the ending of it, not carrying it over.
Mm-hmm.
which is the time. The very ending of it is the ending of time. I think that's clear. Or not clear. All right.
Yes.
I am hurt. Mm-hmm. X is hurt. Wounded from childhood. For various, we know all that. And he, by listening, talking, discussing with you, realizes that this, the continuation of the hurt is time, right?
Yes.
And to find out the ground, time must end.
Yes.
So he says, can my hurt end instantly,
yes,
immediately?
Yes, I think that we should, there's some steps in there. You see that you say that he finds that the hurt is time, but the immediate experience of it is that it exists on its own, you see. That
I know, of course, we can go into that.
Yes, that it simply is something on its own,
yes,
not thought, right?
Yes, which is, I have created an image about myself, and the image is hurt, but not me.
What do you mean by that?
All right. In the becoming, which is time, I have created an image about myself. Right?
Yes, well, thought has created that image. Right?
Thought has created an image.
Mm-hmm.
Through experience, through education, through conditioning, that this image is separate from me. Wait a minute, I'm explaining. This image is actually me.
Yes.
But we have separated the image and the me, which is irrational.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, in realizing that the image is me, I've become somewhat rational.
Yes, well, you see, but I think that it would not be clear, because if a person is hurt, he feels the image is me. You see, that
yes.
If
the image is you.
But a person who is hurt feels that way, you see.
All right.
But it's not.
But the
clear.
Moment you operate on it, you
yeah.
separate
that's
yourself.
Right. That's the point. To say
of
that.
Course.
Now, first, the first feeling is the image is me. And it hurts, and the second feeling is I draw back from the image
that's
in order
right.
to operate on it.
Which is irrationality.
Yeah, because it's not correct. Huh?
That's right. Right?
Yes. So, and that brings in time, because I say it will take time to do that.
You're quite right. So by becoming, by seeing that, I become rational.
Mm-hmm.
And in the act is to be free of it. Immediately.
Yes, well, let's go into that. You see that, so we say we have drawn back. See, the first thing is that there has been a hurt, right?
Yes.
That is the image, but I don't, at first, don't separate it.
Yes.
I feel identified with that.
I am that.
I am that. But then I draw back,
back.
And I say, I think that there must be me
quite
who
right.
can do something.
It can operate on it.
All right, now that takes time. Now, then.
That is time.
That is time, but I mean, I'm thinking it takes time. And
yeah.
Now, if I don't do that, now you see, I have to go slowly, that the hurt cannot exist, you see. That.
That's right.
But it is not obvious, you know, in the experience itself that this is so.
Well, first let's go slowly.
Yeah.
I am hurt. That's a fact. Then I separate myself.
Mm-hmm.
There is a separation, saying, I will do something about it.
Yeah, the me who will do something is different.
Is different, of course.
And he thinks about what he should
Which
do.
Is, the me is different because it's becoming.
Well, yes,
I don't want to complicate it. That's
to project
right.
into the future,
yes,
the state
that's
of a different state, right?
Yes. I am hurt, there is a separation, a division. The me, which is always pursuing the becoming,
mm-hmm.
says, I must control it, I must wipe it, I must act upon it,
mm-hmm.
or I must, I'll be vengeful, hurt, and all the rest of it. So this movement of separation is time.
Yes, we can see that now. Yes. Now, the point is that a person, it is not obvious. There's something here that is not obvious. See, a person is thinking the hurt exists independently of me, and I must do something about it. That is what I project into the future, the better state and what I will do.
Yes.
Now, see, let's try to make it very clear, because you are saying that there is no separation.
No. My rationality discovers there is no separation.
There's no separation, but the illusion that there is a separation helps to maintain the hurt.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Because the illusion is I'm becoming.
Yes.
I
am this and will become that.
Become that.
So I am hurt and will become non-hurt.
Non-hurt.
Now that very thought maintains the hurt.
That's right.
So is the separation not already there when I become conscious and say I am hurt?
I'm hurt. I say I'm going to hit you because you have hurt me. Or I say I must suppress it. Or I create fear. And so on, resistance.
But isn't that feeling of separation there already when in the moment I say I am hurt?
I know, but that's irrationality.
That's irrational already.
Already, when you know, when you say, is not the separation exists already when I say I am hurt?
Well, it does, but I think that before that happens, there's a kind of a shock, you see. The first thing that happens is a kind of shock. Of pain or whatever.
Yes, it's a hurt.
In which you are identified with that shock, and then you explain it by saying, I am hurt or whatever, and then that immediately implies the separation something.
Of course.
Now,
if I'm not hurt, I don't know anything about separation or not separation.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, something might happen to me.
As you said, a shock. Any kind of shock.
So, but in the moment I say I am hurt, that is, in that moment I have already separated myself from that fact, which...
No, I don't. All that I know is I am hurt. Right? I don't say I'm already separated myself.
No, I'm not saying that, but isn't that implied?
No, I'm just hurt. I'm irrational as long as I maintain that hurt and do something about it, which is to become. Then the irrationality comes in. I think that's right.
Well, if you don't maintain it, what happens?
What?
Suppose you say, okay, I won't go on with this becoming, right?
That's quite a different matter.
Yeah.
Which means I am no longer thinking, and I'm no longer observing using time as an observation.
Well, yes, you could say that's not your way of looking.
Yes.
It's not your theory anymore.
Yeah. That's right.
Right?
That's right.
Because we could say time is the theory which everybody adopts.
That's right.
For psychological
purposes.
That
is the common factor.
Yeah.
Time is the common factor of man. And we are pointing out time is an illusion, which is not...
Yes, psychological time.
Of course, that's understood.
Mm-hmm. Yes, now are you saying that when we no longer approach this through time,
yes,
then the hurt does not continue,
it
right?
It continues, it ends.
It ends.
Because you're not becoming anything.
Well, you're not... In becoming, you are always continuing what are, right?
That's right.
Continuing
what you are.
While you struggle to become.
Yeah, all the rest of it. We are talking about insight.
Yes.
That is, insight has no time. Insight is not the product of time. Time being memory, remembrance, and so on, and so on. So there is insight. That insight, being free of time, acts upon memory, acts upon thought, which is rational. That is, insight makes thought rational.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
Not thought which is based on memory. then what the devil is that thought?
What?
Yeah, that's the question.
It makes sense.
What?
I don't think thought comes in at all. We said insight comes into being when there is no time. Thought, which is based on memory, experience, knowledge, that is the movement of time as becoming. We are talking psychological, mm-hmm. not the other. We are saying to be free of time implies insight. Insight, being free of time, it has no thought.
Yeah, we said, but it may use thought.
Wait, I'm not sure. Just
right,
go slowly.
Changing, yeah.
It may use thought to explain, but it acts. Before action was based on thought.
Yes.
Now, when there is insight, there is only action. Why do you want thought? Because insight is rational. Therefore, action is rational.
Yes.
Action becomes irrational when it is acting upon thought, from thought.
From thought, yeah.
So, insight doesn't use thought.
Well, we'll have to make it clear because you
yes,
say in
sir,
a certain
I'd
area,
stick to that. Not,
but in a certain area, we agreed it has to use thought. You see, if, for example, you want to construct something, you will use the thought which is available as to how to do it, right?
But that's not insight.
Yes, but even so, you may have to have insight in that area.
Yeah, partial. We said the other day when we were discussing Brockwood,
yeah.
The scientists, the painters, the architects, the so on, the artists and so on, they are partial insight. We are talking of X, Y, Z, who are seeking the ground, they are becoming they are becoming rational. And we are saying insight is without time and therefore without thought, and that insight is action. Because that insight is rational, action is rational.
Could the action be thought?
No. So, just a minute. Going back.
Mm-hmm.
Forgive me, I'm not perfect. I'm not making myself an example, or I'm talking in all humility. That boy, that young man in 1929, dissolved the order. There was no thought. People said, do this, don't do that, keep it, don't keep it. He said, this is, he had an insight, finished. He dissolved it. Why do we need thought?
You don't need thought.
We do. We employ thought to dissolve this, do something.
Mm-hmm. But didn't you use some thought in dissolving the order, saying not when to do it, how to do it?
That is merely for convenience for other people,
yeah,
and so on.
Yeah, but still some thought was needed.
The decision.
Well, I didn't
the
say
action.
About the decision. You said the primary action did not require thought,
that's,
but the.
Of course, that's not. That's,
those which follow may
that,
require some thought.
That's nothing. It's like moving the cushion from there to there. What?
Yeah, well, I understand that the primary source of action does not involve thought.
That's all I want.
But it sort of filters through into
yes,
the
like a wave that
yeah.
Does not also thought undergo a transformation in this process? You see, before it was
yes, of course, because
of the
insight is time without time. Therefore, the brain itself has undergone a change.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yes, now could we talk about what you mean by that?
What time is it?
Yes, you see, we must refer to time. It's 5:25.
God, I think we'll have to stop a bit here.
Right, well, perhaps another
time. My head is buzzing.
Next time, yeah.
I think we are, this is good. So does it mean, sir, every human response must be viewed or must enter into insight? You know what I mean? I'll tell you what I mean. I'm jealous. Is there an insight which will cover the whole field of jealousy? Yes. So end that, envy, greed, all that is involved in, what did I say, in jealousy. You follow?
Yes.
We irrational people say, step by step. Get rid of jealousy, get rid of attachment, get rid of anger, get rid of this, that, the other. Which is constant process of becoming. Right? And the insight says, which is totally rational, wipes all that away. Right?
Right.
Is that a fact? Fact in the sense, X, Y, Z will never be again jealous. Never.
Yes, well, we have to discuss that because it's not clear how you could guarantee that. I mean, it's...
Oh, yes, I'll guarantee.
You will?
You better stop, don't you? Mm. Aren't your head aching too?
Shockley. No, he won't listen. No.
He won't listen, no.
No, if you will reach those who can listen. Huh? If it can reach those who are able to listen.
Listen, yeah. Which means the first thing is to find the ground. We must listen, right?
You see, scientists cannot always listen. I mean, even Einstein and Bohr were not able at a certain point to listen to each other.
Of course. They brought their irrationality into operation.
Well, each one was attached to his
particular
view,
yes,
right?
That's right, sir.